Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Well, here in the studio and in North Carolina, race and the death penalty are playing themselves out in a new controversial law down there in the Tar Heel State. Last year, North Carolina enacted what's known as the Racial Justice Act, requiring judges to take any prisoner off of death row if the judge finds that race was, quote, a significant factor in the death sentence. Now, 95% of the state's death row population filed bias claims by an August deadline that was in the law, according to the North Carolina Attorney General's office. Joining us now to discuss this possibly precedent-setting law is Trina Seitz. She's a criminologist and associate professor of sociology at the Appalachian State University in North Carolina. She's also writing a book about the history of North Carolina's death penalty from 1909 to 1945. And we're also joined by Paul Butler, a former federal prosecutor and law professor at George Washington University here in Washington. Butler is the author of Let's Get Free, A Hip-Hop Theory of Justice. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Great to be here.
Trina, let me start with you. There are 159 inmates on death row in North Carolina. And as I mentioned just a minute ago, 95% of them have filed racial bias claims. That seems like an astronomical number. That's basically everybody.
It's just about everyone. It's 151 inmates out of the current 159 that we currently have incarcerated on death row. That includes 155 male inmates and four women that are housed on death row at the North Carolina Correctional Institution for Women. All four women, from what I understand, have joined in to seek relief under this particular act.
And that's an enormous proportion. And there was a deadline in that statute, which probably explained why people who were on death row anyway rushed to apply, correct?
That's correct. When the law was passed, it was a statutory mandate that inmates had 1 year from the date that the act was signed in order to go ahead and get in line to seek relief under this particular act. And so that was the reason for the August 10th deadline. It was a statutory mandate.
Well, Paul Butler, we talked to North Carolina State Senator Floyd McKissick Jr. in a phone interview, and I want you to listen to his comments because I want you to react to them and comment on really what might be at play as they try to enforce racial bias regulations on death row. Listen to Floyd McKissick.
In North Carolina, what we observed is that there was a high preponderance of cases where the victim was white and the defendant was of any other color, that there was three times more likely that if the person was black, they were going to get the death penalty or the prosecutor would seek the death penalty. And likewise, that in cases where you were looking at peremptory challenges by the juries, that we wanted to make sure that when those types of things occurred, that was done without regard to race.
Paul Butler of George Washington University. So what we're dealing with here, according to that state senator, is the race of the victim, possibly the race of the perpetrator, not to mention the racial makeup of the jury. This is a convoluted situation that judges have to try to entangle now. Is there any legally objective way to do it?
Well, you know, the Supreme Court has considered this. A bunch of studies have shown that in some cases, everybody gets the death penalty. It doesn't matter what the race is. Think of a mass murderer. There are other cases where nobody gets the death penalty, even if they're eligible. The classic case there is a husband who kills his wife. Jurors just don't sentence those guys to death. There's this middle range of cases in which race seems to make a huge difference. Some people get the death penalty and some don't. So the court considered a case where there was pretty strong statistical evidence offered that race mattered. And the Supreme Court, the case was called McCluskey, says it's not of constitutional significance. Maybe race matters a little bit, but it didn't reach the level the court thought where death sentences should be reversed. So it's really a national issue.
Well, how does a judge process the legal language that says he or she has to find that race is a significant factor in the death sentence? You're talking about statistical information. What does significant factor mean?
Well, you know, in the Supreme Court case, the court said it's a correlation, but we can't say it's a cause. And one of the court's concerns was that race probably doesn't only play a role with regard to the death penalty. It probably plays a role with regard to sentences and even with judges finding people guilty. So the court was concerned that if it gave too much credit to race, that it might literally undo the whole criminal justice system. So now it's up to the kind of people and judges of North Carolina to determine when race makes enough of a difference that it means a sentence should be reversed.
Well, let's reiterate that we're not talking about racial bias leading to the exoneration of these convicted criminals. We're talking about taking them off of death row and instead giving them 25 to life, I suppose. Well, Trina Seitz, what about the people of North Carolina? How are they reacting to this new law? Do they see it as a road towards racial justice?
I haven't seen any recent polls polling the citizens in general regarding this particular Racial Justice Act. I think the jury is still out regarding what the general populace thinks. I do know there wasn't one particular impetus for this Racial Justice Act to be implemented. It had to do a lot with multiple politicians, multiple criminal justice professionals, sort of just knowing an historical background of possible racism being involved in either the jury pools, the race of the victim or the race of the defendant. Largely, this was a Democratic political push in the General Assembly, and I do know that no Republican actually voted for this particular act. So there's a political slant to this, and again, I'd be eager to see in the next couple of weeks or the following months what general citizens and academics feel about this.
Paul Butler, Kentucky has a similar law. How many other states are on tap to get similar laws, do you think, before we go?
Well, they're pretty much it. Again, these laws have been controversial. Similar proposals have been pending before Congress for over 10 years, and Congress has failed to act. So, you know, for some reason, racial justice arguments don't have a lot of traction when it comes to the death penalty. Abolitionists have been making these arguments for almost 30 years, and they don't seem to be going anywhere. What has more traction, Todd, is arguments about innocence. So when we look at people who've been executed and later found to have been innocent, that seems to capture the public and the politicians in a way that racial justice claims don't.
Yep. Those innocence projects are a big issue. Paul Butler at George Washington University, Trina Seitz, criminologist at Appalachian State University, author of a book on North Carolina's law from 1909 to 1945. Thanks to you both.